Jane Grimsbo Jewett and her husband Joe own Willow's Edge Farm in Palisade. Jane is also Associate Director of the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture, and she's on the phone with us this morning to talk about her farm and how a couple of our local farmers markets plan to do business safely this summer. Welcome, Jane.
Good morning.
Yeah, what's happening this morning at Willow's Edge Farm?
Well, the chickens just got let out. I've got two batches of meat chickens on the ground. One of them is about 5 weeks old, and the other one is a week and a half old maybe now. And they do get locked up at night because of owls and skunks and raccoons. So they just got let out. They're very excited.
I know your daughters have been studying at college. Did they have to come home for the COVID-19?
They are home, yep. They are both here, and also the college roommate of my younger daughter, Sigrid, is here, Cassie. And so we have a full house, and we are hoping our internet holds out.
Yeah, that's what we're all hoping. It's a lifeline for all of us these days, isn't it?
Yep.
So tell us a little bit about Willow's Edge Farm, what it's like, and yeah, what's growing
sure.
there? What are you growing there right now?
Well, right now the grass is just starting to grow a little bit, and almost my entire farm is in rotational grazing for the cattle. I raise grass-fed beef. I have a pretty small herd. I will have 11 cows calving later this spring. I had, typically I calve around this time of year, but this year I had a lot of travel lined up for work. I was doing workshops all over the state, and so I shifted the breeding time so that I wouldn't have calves coming until July. And now, of course, that is all out the window, and I could have had them coming now, but they won't be coming for a while. So the grass is starting to grow. Like I said, the whole farm is set up for rotational grazing. I have a lot of paddocks fenced, and I rotate the cows on pretty much a daily basis during the grazing season from mid-May through the end of October or a little later if I can push it a little later if the grass is holding out and we don't have too much snow yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the majority of the farm, which is 113 acres here down along the river road, about 37 miles south of Grand Rapids. And then I do have a series of pens set up for chickens and a series of pens set up for pigs. And I have pigs farrowing. I've got four sows. And one of them has a batch of babies that are about 6 weeks old, and then another one just had her litter 4 days ago.
Oh, things are moving on the farm.
How many in a litter, generally?
You know, it varies anywhere from 8 to 12, typically, although I did have a litter of 16 one time.
That was
amazing. But the most recent litter, the mom is a little protective. I haven't been able to get right in there and count the piglets, but it looks like at least 8, maybe 9.
Mm. How did you get into raising livestock and farming?
Well, I grew up on a farm. My folks still live on the original home place that's about 6 miles north of where I live, and that became a century farm in 2015. So I was raised with beef cattle. Cows were my first love, and I just, you know, it was inconceivable that if I was farming, I would not have beef cattle. Gotta have cattle. And then the other things, just, I got into them because I wanted to see if I could do it, basically, I guess. You know, I had customers who were interested in other kinds of meat besides beef, and so I read books and I tried things out and I made a lot of mistakes and eventually figured a few things out, which is not to say there aren't still issues some days, but I've got beef cattle and pigs and meat chickens, a few laying hens just for personal use now. My daughter Sigrid has a flock of sheep small flock, and then I do a seasonal batch of turkeys to have turkeys for Thanksgiving.
Oh. Jane, you have been doing, you've been selling meat at something you call a meetup. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. So I am a vendor at the Grand Rapids Farmers Market during the market season, which is May through October. But then on the other part of the year, when the market is not in session, I have customers who still want to buy meat. So I've got this monthly meetup going, and that's been going for about 3 years now. But this year I got a little more disciplined about picking the same part of each month instead of being random about it. And then when COVID-19 hit, I wanted to do the meetup, but also to keep my customers and myself safe. So we did a social distanced meetup where I had everybody order ahead online and not be able to change their orders. Because previously I would, you know, let people walk up and tell me what they wanted or add extra things to their order when they got there. But this time everybody had to pre-order ahead so that I could have everything bagged up and labeled. And then as people came, I set their order out on a table that was 6 feet away from my trailer. And then I would step back to the trailer and let them step forward and get their order and drop their payment in a box and be on their way. So that worked really well.
So, yes, this pandemic has kind of changed everything. It's made everything a little bit more complicated.
That is for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Do you still sell meat from your farm by the, you know, whole, half, quarter, things like that as well?
I do that, yep. And I am really thankful for the customers who buy that way, but also I know that it is not for everyone because that's a large quantity of meat to get at one time and a large expense to drop at one time. The ability to do that kind of sale is easier in some ways up in this area than selling by the piece like I do also. Because with the quarters and halves, you can use a custom-exempt processing plant, and those are common all over the state. For selling by the piece and at the farmer's market, I have to get the meat processed under inspection, which means at a plant that has an inspection grant and they have an inspector there on every day of operations, inspecting the animal for health and inspecting the plant's operations. And there are very, very few of those up here. I travel a long ways to get that kind of inspected status for my meat.
What happens when somebody orders directly from the farm? How does that work?
Like a quarter or a half?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are a few different ways that different farmers do it. You know, the way I do it is that I take the order, and if it's a beef order and someone's buying a quarter, then I also need to find buyers for the other three quarters of it because the whole animal needs to be spoken for before it goes to slaughter. So I line up the customers, and usually I'm trying to do like six hogs or at least two beef at a time to make it, you know, worth the hauling time to get them somewhere. Then the customers either... Depends on the butcher. Different butchers want to do it different ways, but I will either take the customer's cutting instructions and deliver those to the butcher, or I will have the customer get in direct contact with the butcher to give their personal cutting instructions for their meat. Then when the meat is done, again, it depends on where people are. I'm typically using my inspected plants that are far away because then I can get both the custom orders and my individual cuts done at the same time from different animals. So those are far away. So I'm typically hauling customers' meat back. But if the customers are in the same community where the butcher plant is, then typically the customers will go to the plant themselves, pick up their meat, and pay the butcher for the processing. Then they'll pay me for the meat.
We are talking with Jane Grimsboe-Jewett from Willowsedge Farm in Palisade. And Jane, I know you've been hearing this too, but we've been hearing that some commercial meat packing plants are closing because the workers are in close quarters and they haven't necessarily been protected and they're getting sick from this coronavirus. And we're also hearing that other parts of the food supply chain might be vulnerable to some of the same things. So it seems pretty important right now to support our local food systems, which brings me to the farmers markets. Farmers markets are essential services just like grocery stores are. And you said there are some changes being planned for our markets in Grand Rapids and Cook. Tell us what you're thinking about.
Yeah, the market membership in Grand Rapids has been meeting, and some of the leadership has been meeting outside of the member meetings to figure this out. The Minnesota Farmers Market Association has been working with the MDA and MISA, which I work for, and other groups to develop guidelines for markets for dealing with the COVID-19 situation. And there are a bunch of options, but one of those options that Grand Rapids and Cook are both adopting is an online pre-ordering system and then assembly of orders at the market and a drive-through or curbside pickup for customers to get their order. So this is actually part of a project that we've had going on for a couple of years with other farmers markets throughout the state. And we're using an online system called LocalLine. The original idea was that we would be commingling farmers' products at the market and making up bigger orders for institutional buyers like nursing homes and schools and hospitals or restaurants or grocery stores in the community. But when COVID-19 hit, one of our markets in the project in Rochester made a really fast pivot to face that online ordering system towards household consumers and set up that online pre-ordering plus assembly plus pickup scenario in Rochester. And it was wildly popular and very successful. And so the other markets in the project, including Grand Rapids and Cook, are making efforts to do the same thing.
So I know the growing season hasn't really started yet, but what can we expect to find on that website once the season does get underway?
Right. I was looking at the Grand Rapids online store just yesterday afternoon, and there's already things on there. I have a little bit of meat on there. I need to add more. I haven't taken the time to sit down and onboard all the product yet because that does take a little time. But some of our other food vendors are putting up things like fruit shrubs and fruit syrup and jam. We have some plants on there. And I believe there's some bread on there yet. So we're working right now with folks on getting a whole lot of things onboarded. And right now, early in the season, it'll be the things like jam, jelly, syrup, meat, honey, maple syrup. Maple syrup is on there from TimberSweet. Those things that aren't dependent on the growing season.
Yeah.
But we'll be increasing that catalog greatly as the season goes along.
You mentioned something earlier that this kind of grew out of the folks that were supplying like schools and restaurants and nursing homes and other. Has farm to table been really affected by the COVID-19 now that a lot of those places are closing?
It has, yes. There are quite a few farmers who have lost their farm to school contracts or their restaurant contracts and are looking for other places for their product to go. In fact, the Minnesota Grocers Association and the Minnesota Department of Agriculture worked together to put up a survey to find out who those farmers are and then try to route them to grocery stores in their area who might be able to take their product and get it on the shelves. That was kicked off by a situation where a farmer in Northfield, Minnesota had a contract for carrots with the, I believe it was the Minneapolis School District, and that was canceled and they needed a home for the carrots. So they found a home for the carrots in one of the metro area grocery stores, and then that kicked off that effort.
So places like yourself, MESA and some of these other farmers organizations are, sounds like, working hard behind the scenes to help growers find the right market for, you know, the affected things from this pandemic.
That's true. The Department of Ag is working so hard. Our Ag Commissioner, Tom Peterson, is having a twice-weekly call at noon for various ag groups, including, you know, local and sustainable small-scale ag, as well as the larger industry players, just to update them on what's going on. And I had a meeting last Friday with several different divisions of the Department of Ag. It was a larger meeting about local food systems, but the Dairy and Meat Inspection Division is working really hard to try to get some of the smaller custom-exempt meat processing plants expedited through the process to become inspected plants so that they can start to pick up some of the meat processing slack. And, you know, it's the scale of a plant like Worthington or Sioux Falls is hard to even wrap your head around, and the small plants will not be able to pick up all that slack, but they'll be able to pick up a little bit and help ease the bottleneck for some farmers who have livestock that need a place to go.
Right, because when calves are born and the livestock is raised, there's a time when it's time to butcher, and if you miss that deadline, that has to be really hard on farmers.
It is, yeah. We had a extension person who works with the sheep industry last Friday on the call, and he was saying how devastating it is for the lamb producers because the window with lamb is so narrow. With other livestock species, you have more flexibility to turn the meat into meat that people want to eat, whereas with lamb, once it ages out of being lamb and becomes mutton, there just isn't a ton of market for it.
When is the farmers market planning to open in Grand Rapids? Do you know?
We are planning to open on May 6th. And we will be getting a lot of information out over the next coming weeks before May 6th about what it's going to look like, information about that online ordering option, and also about how the market is going to look, because it will look different. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a lot more hand-washing stations. We're going to have a lot of signage directing people and reminding people to stay 6 feet apart. We're going to have vendor stalls probably spaced farther apart than we've been used to. Probably some roped off areas directing traffic, foot traffic and car traffic. And so it's going to look and feel quite different. And we are temporarily putting our Power of Produce program on hold. That was the one that gave children between the ages of 2 and 12 a $2 coupon to spend on produce. Mm-hmm. That is temporarily on hold until the COVID crisis eases. So, you know, just a lot of things will be different, but we are still going to operate and hope to serve up healthy local food to our community, and we hope the community will support us in that.
Are you planning any more meetups?
No, not until after the market season. During the market season, I will be at the farmer's market, but I am going to get the majority of my inventory on that local line store so that people who prefer to order online and just pick up can do that.
Just one final thing. We're all needing to eat, and we're all staying home, pretty much. More of us are cooking at home, which seems kind of good for supporting local food producers. Do you have any advice for us if we want to support that strong and sustainable food system as consumers?
You know, the farmers market is going to have a lot of things that could become part of a meal. So come to the market. We do have a supply of recipe cards. Several of the vendors have those kinds of things at their booth. And then there are also some available from the market information booth. So, you know, chat with a vendor from a safe distance of at least 6 feet away and ask about recipes. We'd be happy to help out.
That is Jane Grimsboe-Jewett from Willow Sedge Farm and the Minnesota Institute of Sustainable Agriculture. You can find out more information about Willow Sedge Farm at janesfarm.com. Jane, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Maggie.
You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Show, connecting you to food that can sustain us.